Everyone, it's Mike J. I'm back here in 2025. Believe it or not, made it another year. Happy New Year to everybody. I thought that was a very interesting quote that I picked up in my information intake. We're going right to mechanics. What must be in place for the soft launch of the book? That's a rhetorical question because I'm asking that of myself. Obviously, we need to get the book done, which is getting closer. I'm still hoping for a March date on that, ready to ship and ready to turn loose the marketing. So we need to get all that done. Requirements must be met with targeted perseverance. In other words, I'm saying that to myself because being a scatterbrain, it's very difficult to continue to focus. These R&D team calls and the preparation for them help me go through all of the R&D machinations necessary for me to get to and arrive at, let's do this. We have to beware of CCR. We have to understand culture conditions and requirements. Understanding culture conditions and requirements is very important. I will talk a little bit about Graves' research and influence of conditions, but I added culture, which maybe modifies that a bit. In other words, the culture is so important because of all my travel and all the things, and of course, living here in a different country, the culture is extremely important because it not only is positive for the people who are here, but it tends to spin off a lot of negativity if you use one culture that you're from and you bring it here. Now, that's good because the culture here, the home culture, begins to have new things taught to it at the same time. They don't understand most of the things because they're culturally not in sync with what's going on. So culture, the conditions that are in that culture, and the requirements. Requirements are so important. I'm thinking that when we look at Graves, and I'll continue to refer to his research because I really think he was on to something. We all began to read about him in 1996 when Spiral Dynamics came out. But I had a chance to dig deeper into his research that Spiral Dynamics used and colored, pun intended. I think he used the word conditions, which I think is very powerful, and you must use it. At the same time, requirements are different because you could have conditions, but the requirements, if they're juxtaposed to your nature, they're going to be much more difficult in the conditions that then also may be juxtaposed to your nature via the culture that may also be juxtaposed to your nature. And this is the big mistake, I will tell you, this is the big mistake that people, globalists, are making. They subscribe to a thing that anybody can be anything they want to be, but that's not true because the nature people, via nurture, i.e. Matt Ridley's book, taught us that nature has something to say, not only in the present, not only in the future, but from the past as well. If you look at Sheldrake's research on morphogenic fields, I'm going to put that up here somewhere in one of these calls, and we'll grab that and put it on a page for you, because that's definitely a resonance, a reference that we want to pay attention to. Not only is it a resonance, but it's a reference. The idea being is that your actual past tends to color the present and the future. So I'm going to have more on that later as we continue to try to figure out where the levers are in this whole process. So culture, conditions, and requirements are extremely important. I did put a video there that I think everyone should look at. It's done by Ray Dalio, who I once had the opportunity to work with personally. And I found it very interesting. He's a very smart guy, and he's done a lot of really good things. And I love these videos that he's putting out. Or actually, it's not him. It's somebody else grabbing his video and then going through and using his voice on their media and captioning it. And it's and in other words, really clear and easy to understand. It's Free Investing is the purveyor of this, but they're using Dalio's words. This is a great summary of where we are right now. I don't necessarily agree with 100% because there are some issues. There are always issues because a lot of people tend to do this be all you can be stuff when in fact that's a good idea, except they misinterpret it as that we can change our nature. And then most, only about 1% of the people can modify their nature. In other words, in terms of saying, well, this is my nature. These are the requirements. I'm going to choose something that's unnatural for me because it's the right thing. And only about, it seems like to me, about only about 1%. All the people I've coached can't really do it. And even I can't do it very well. As an agent type of person, I tend to modify the conditions and the requirements to fit me, which 5% of us can do. But at the same time, this is a very good video. So I wasn't sure where to put it, and I'm still grappling with the design of the structure of the class to get it so it's tight, but also it gives you the best kind of information. In other words, a reason to come here. You look at that video, you'll see a reason to come here. I grabbed this quote, when the causes people are behind are more important than the system is in jeopardy. That is a very, very, very important. He could change that word. And if I said it, I would say it different. When the values people are behind are more important than the system is in jeopardy. And this goes back to this whole turn play with Graves and which is more important, the conditions or the psychology of the person, the conditions, the environment, the psychology of the organization, all very important stuff. At the same time, sorting through those gives you ideas on, okay, if you're looking for leverage, as we do in our model called Optimal, IMAL for short, importance, motivation, urgency, leverage, and low-hanging fruit, the thing that you'll begin to understand about that is that when you go for that lever, that leverage, the most important thing, what's really going to keep motivating people and what is urgent, you're going to find these things that probably it's going to be something that aligns with your nature. And that's why the Gallup work is so important, because strengths, why we need to understand talent, strengths emerging from talent, the same type of thing. So your response to requirements would be, wait a minute, I'm required to do this. Now, what am I best at? Well, I'm not best at that. So one, I reach out and get somebody to help me because I've got a crew of people around me that I can come help me. It's like if you've ever watched Pawn Stars, when somebody encounters something that they are not sure about and they're not an expert in, they always ask the person, would it be okay if I call an expert? That is so an important analogy for us to understand that you have these experts around you, including AI. The only bad thing about AI is AI pretends it's an expert. And if you're not expert enough to know that it's not, then you run into trouble because you get hallucinations, you get lies. They've taught AI to lie. They've taught AI to give you what you want. They taught AI to be a lot of things. And so the best place with AI is if you're an expert in an area, use AI. If you're not an expert and you're just gathering information, be careful, because AI will tend to feed you whatever it seems that it has on its little pattern brain. So want to be careful with that. So I know I'm weaving a little bit too much for you if you don't have background. So what we're going to start doing is we're going to start grabbing these pieces and we're going to start putting them in a background so we can go, so we can give you the reference on them. And we'll start that process pretty soon. So that quote's a great one. The video's a great one. Understanding culture, conditions, and requirements. Beware of CCR. I named it CCR for a reason. I like Creedence Clearwater Revival, which most young people will never have heard of, but it's a great group, great bunch of songs, stuff like that. So it always remembers in my head, CCR, remember CCR. And yeah, I think of the music when I do it, but I also think about culture, conditions, and requirements. That's what you always have to do. So that's really part of critical thinking that we've talked about earlier, and that you'll have a reference page on. So in terms of R&D design, this was a great example, which I just used, in terms of, do you want to hear this stuff? Do you want to hear me weave together all of the past, present, and future ideas that come to me as an expert in being able to do a lot of that as I get information and stay up with things? Do you want me to weave that into the fabric of what it is we're going to do. That's the question. That's what I'm asking. Does the Lead You R&D process via Mike J's leadership to bring in about 20% of the time reflections on the state of CCR as it relates to my team? Now, that's slightly different in that, do you want me to bring in current events? Do you want me to shed light on what it is I think I have been able to associate with what's going on and what might go on in the future? That's a question that I have, both rhetorical and both for those of you that are listening to this recording or participating, we'll come back to this from time to time. Do you want that? If you don't, then, you know, my tendency would be, okay, we'll shut that down or we'll not do it. I put in other words, is there purpose in purposing? In other words, in order for me to do IMO, importance, motivation, urgency, leverage, and low-hanging fruit, that's something that I need to do because that's in my process of linking, connecting, networking, doing all that stuff together. Therefore, in a parallel process, do you want to be updated or have the option as a premium paid member? We're going to talk to you about pricing because we made a little mistake in pricing, but most of you won't know about it, only a couple of you, in terms of how we're going to price this out over the year. So we got that fixed. For those of you that are premium members, do you want extra stuff? Or do you find it laborious, hard to understand, can't connect to it, doesn't assimilate, goes over your head, that sort of stuff like that? That's what I'm asking. And to be guided to your own My Team design each week for 2025. The premium members, what we're talking and thinking about doing for premium members, and that'll probably start in March when we release the book. What we will do is we will do a short piece on guiding you through the 21-day intention program. It'll be more like 21-week program where we explain the way in which to go about deriving your own purpose. And that's worth the ticket, obviously, to learn that system. But I'm still thinking about that process, and therefore R&D, we're trying to understand, well, do I do that or do I not do that, or do we add it or not? I put a note here. For example, this is the 20% supposedly additional stuff that I can bring in. Me and the AI did this piece, and I like it. What it does is it breaks down about 60 years of research for you into about 10 different things to understand that we can actually work with. In other words, we've worked with these in the system. The only thing, if you go down under created by Chad Smith, please note that individuals and organizations differ in terms of contrast with humans as individuals in terms of wired in disposition. In other words, an organization has a wired-in disposition as a result of its culture, but there's not something in its nature per se that's continuously causing it to follow that culture. So culture is a little bit more malleable than the individual's predisposition. And that's the thing that I've had a difficult time with in the Graves spiral dynamics work, is that you can't treat an organization like an individual. Therefore, they have networked development that looks a little bit different. And the hard thing to understand, I think it's easier to understand an individual's predisposition than it is an organization's culture, because there's so many non-speakables in the culture that people don't know unless they've been there a real long time and seen them manifest and emerge over time with little tiny variants that you would not realize if you're going in there as a visitor or a vendor or somebody trying to help them. I know I've encountered this in many different cultures in many different countries that I've worked in. And you have to be very careful about what you ascribe to predisposition in the individual and their values and the culture and the values that emerge from the culture, because they don't necessarily always emerge from the founder once the organization escapes the founder's trap. So that's just a little caveat there. There's another piece that I was looking at the same time, as I was looking at graves, because I was trying to understand what's happening in the world in terms of radicalization. And Saul Alinsky is probably the father of Rules for Radicals. I mean, he is the father. He wrote it. It's a way in which people talk about things and how to use them. They're in use right now, by the way. They are in use right now. Now, the question is, can we find a way to use these with design work that we're doing in purpose? I think we can, because they hold up. In other words, the rules work. So whenever you find rules that work, that become literally sociological laws that you can test, well, then one of the things that you can do is they don't have to just be used by radicals. In other words, if the rules of Rules for Radicals works for radicals, won't it work for non-radicals? And that's what I'm saying. So in other words, what can we use out of there? So that's an important reference page as well. I love being able to use ChatSmith. I have access to 3 or 4 AIs in different forms, and each one of them is trained a little bit different. ChatSmith seems to be real quick, and usually based on my expertise of asking it to do something that I know about. Remember, when she starts summarizing things that you don't know whether it's right or wrong, well, then you run into trouble, because AI has issues. And believe me, AI has an agenda. There's an agenda behind AI. So just like a person almost in some ways. It doesn't have values, but it's trained in a certain way. And that's the value of the process. That's unlike the human process, because the AI has a predisposition, as does an organization's culture, but the individual's predisposition seems to be more hardwired, less flexible, and of course, more variable when you look at complexity. Understanding your purpose is the most powerful thing you can do, because then you create flexibility because of the objectivity rather than being subject to it. So talk more about that later. I put this piece in here, and this goes back to bringing in other pieces that are sidelines, but they're very important for now. This piece comes from Martin Armstrong. I've followed him more than a decade. He predicts everything. I would mean everything. He has his own AI. He built it in the 80s when he was younger, computers, grad, stuff like that. Went to prison for thing, was the biggest international hedge fund manager. Has talked to every government, central bank. I mean, he's just a real interesting guy. But I grabbed this from one of his late December private blog posts that you have to be a subscriber to get. He does have a public blog, so Armstrong Economics, definitely recommend you following him. This time around, they're not going to inform us of what banks are in trouble, fearing that such an announcement could set off bank runs. When we look at the index covering 600 European banks, 2024 with a panic cycle, which is Socrates' AI system, predicts panic cycles and changes and stuff like that. Following the directional change in 2023, the failure to continue to rally in 2025 indicates a 3-year decline into 2027. And so he's predicting war in 2027, World War III. I don't know if we have that long. May occur in the next 2 weeks, who knows. But the thing that I wanted you to see there is he said, make sure you have cash on hand as we enter 2025. And I think he means that both from what Buffett's doing in terms of protection, but also for opportunity. Because my feeling is, in watching Armstrong, that he's not predicting a stock market crash. I don't know how many of you are involved in stocks, but he's not particularly predicting a crash. So the others are. All the domestic people are predicting a crash. So I'm thinking that we won't have a crash, but he wants you to have cash just in case, which means you have to sell some of the stock that may not be performing or have a future, quote unquote, so that you can avoid some of that, like Buffett's doing, or have cash to invest for an opportunity. The whole listen idea that I've developed, which we're going to teach in terms of inquiry, it has to do with how you take in information and what it is that the information you take in means. There's a great piece here by Milton Friedman. Now, a lot of people don't agree with Friedman, and I don't 100% agree, but boy, does he make a good case The problem I see it with these people who really understand this stuff and are experts as he is, they live in the world that is yet to translate it into the predisposition of the individuals and organizations that exist as a result. And the reason I say it in that way is because if we would follow all of what Friedman says, we're likely to get most of what Friedman says will happen as a result. The problem is we follow a piece here, we follow a piece there, and so these theoretical systems, we tend to amalgamate them. It doesn't work so well. Now, in my thinking about the LISTEN program, which we're going to teach you the dynamic inquiry skills, so those give you a better idea. I use dynamic inquiry with the AI all the time. It's really really for me, very efficient way. And AI, by the way, uses a lot of the different skills that we teach in dynamic inquiry already, so you know validating system. But we're looking at the actual and formal class start dates. I'm going to do R&D up in and around that. At the same time, this first program that we lay down will be an R&D approach, even though I've taught this commercially for almost 15 years and taught it more so in coaching for 25. We're still going to R&D it because we want to tighten it up for the release next year. We want to tighten it up for the global release because when we tighten it up, we have to simplify it because you've got to understand the billions of people who are not yet at the level that we're at in terms of education, in terms of naivete, in terms of experience, those kinds of things like that. And I believe that people, we need this in education. So that means how do we get it so people can then use it in education and teach kids more than just interrogatory, which is only one of the seven skills. And so there's the layout. It's basically 10. I said eight, but I think it's 10. One, two, it's seven plus two. It's going to be, I'm going to change that in my notes. It's going to be 10 sessions. Okay. 10 sessions. Seven of them will be topic oriented, specifically tied down to ping, probe, prompt, permit, perturb, pause, pace. And then we'll have an open and a close. And then what I'll probably do, have an evaluation session or something like that as the 10th session. So we've got a lot of work to do. At the same time, if you want to participate at a very low entry point, low exit point too, always got to have an exit strategy. This is a way, this will be the thing to do, to get into. So if you're thinking about that or you're listening to this recording, you want to do that, we probably need to put a link there somewhere. And we're working on that link right now because we talked about it last week in terms of how are we going to link people into the LISTEN program from R&D. If they don't subscribe. So that's something we're going to have to answer. Continued attempts at the Wheel of Fortune. I think sometimes I make snide remarks that nobody understands but me. Basically, the Wheel of Fortune can be very predictable if you're on purpose and you know you're on purpose, which means that you know the quality of the yes and no's as well as the quantity, the density and frequency of when you say yes and no to certain kinds of things or what kinds of things that you're clear about, and then you become very attractive for those things. I mean, I don't want to get woo-woo. I'm just not a woo-woo type of person, but I believe scientifically that there's a whole lot more than just us around. And so consequently, if you send the right messages, you're going to make contact with things that you thought previously were not available to you. Once you get clear on purpose, you become extraordinarily attractive for certain kinds of things. If it's on purpose, to attract something that's on purpose, that's very important because that improves well-being, that improves results, that improves how you are. So purpose is as purpose does. In other words, no matter what it is, both follows and emerges from purpose. In other words, no matter what it is, everything has a relationship to your purpose, your particular purpose, because that is, in fact, what is showing up for you in terms of what you're attracting. And if you're confused, you attract confusion. If you're not clear and you don't know what to say yes to, you find yourself going along, which sometimes is natural, and you want to know that. In other words, a lot of people prefer to be told what to do. That's fine. If you're that way, that's fine. Just be aware of that so that when you're listening to what other people are telling you to do, that you can say, yeah, it's my nature to follow along with what powerful who says or people that I believe in or people that I trust to go along with. Is it a good idea in this game? And that's dynamic inquiry. In other words, I'm just making a self-inquiry. Is it a good idea that I follow my nature here? It may not be, because the requirements may cause you to say, well, this is my nature. This is what I'm really good at. But for this one choice, maybe I'll go there. And then I'll be careful about how far that choice extends me and my purpose into that. And see, that's the kind of self-talk, that's the kind of dialogue that we can develop with dynamic inquiry as a self-regimen in terms of self-discovery, other discovery, those kinds of things, acceptance, self and other. That's important. Now, how important is self-knowledge? Well, it moves, what it does is it moves the subject to object. Now, does that mean you stop there? No, because as soon as you have an object, you have another subject. So it's an open system, so you got to be careful with that. What you want to do is find one of Graves' branches and find a comfortable place to sit and live there. That's the important thing. I just made an example here. I tend to read McKinsey. I very seldom agree with them because have different values. But at the same time, I listen to what they say because that's what other people are telling them. And when you say the top 10 topics, well, this is what people read of all the things they put out. And they put hundreds of thousands of things out because of people all over the globe. They're probably worse than the CIA in terms of having people everywhere doing everything. And so you might think of them like that kind of thing, or they're not clandestine. But they are continuously working their values, and it's an amazing system, been around for a while, about the same time maybe as the CIA, 47, something like that, 50s for sure. Maybe a little bit later in terms of the official organization, I think 70s or 80s, something like that. But I tend to read them. This is the top 10 topics. So they measure the clicks that people make on their things, and this is what come out. These are the articles that come out. Well, the reason I put this here is I just grabbed something out of the blue, because I'm the one here telling you everything, no matter what it is, relates to your purpose. I just grabbed something out of the blue. Every one of those things goes back to your purpose. In other words, your nature, your predisposition, what you have to be able to do in filtering the complexity of information and the volume of information that everybody's getting and has access to every day. What you have to understand is, do you let all that in? In other words, you can't take it all in. What do you let in? Well, purposefully, you let in those things that, one, you know are in alignment, and two, that speak to that alignment, which means that are different. So you're going to want to let some information in that is totally opposite what it is your values are, so that it continue to use an indirect form of inquiry on you to help you hone in on, and most of us will have to do that, get help to hone in on the purpose. Because once you get on purpose, you become vibrationally attractive. Let's just say that. If everything is reduced to energy and information, then vibration becomes an important thing, because vibration is a signal of energy and information. So in the quantum field, in the field that exists outside of our reality that we tend to see as our perception only, what happens then is that you have to understand that there are the fields. That's an interesting, in the 1200s, Rumi says, there's a field. I'll meet you there. There's a field beyond wrongdoing and rightdoing. I'll meet you there. And the idea is that there's a place where we're no longer worried about whether or not it's right or wrong, but it's a place that actually involves us in the experience that we need in order to grind the pearl of our purpose. So we need a lot of grit. Make sure that you have enough grit coming in that you don't get into groupthink or don't understand that you have a lot of blind spots and things like that. No matter which one or many you choose of all those 10 topics, I think it's interesting. I watch the top 10 more than I do read this stuff, because that's the thing that's happening in the culture. That's what people, leaders, people who have a lot of money, people who can choose whatever they want, they think, that's what they do. So these are the top 10 things. So if you want trends, all you got to do is just map these, and you'll see what the trends are. So that's for a futurist, like I tend to be indirectly, those are things that are important because that's what people are paying attention to. Well, guess what? Whatever you pay attention to is what happens. So that's really, attention is an extremely important thing. You know, that old concept that people have stolen and made mindfulness. No matter which one or many you choose, all stem and urge from out of individual purpose. Even the fact that I gathered those 10 has to do with my purpose. I'm going to start including a video, and it's just something that I run across. I watch hundreds and hundreds of videos every week, sometimes a minute, sometimes longer, depends on the topic, depends on what I'm trying to get out, depends on what we need. And we're going to start summarizing the most powerful ones for you and sending those to the AI summary and coming back and saying, okay, these are the 5 things that you need to think about from this video. So maybe you don't want to watch the video because these are the 5 things that it talks about that are important. And maybe just by reading those, you don't need to watch the video, because the problem that we have, all the problem we have, bandwidth. How much bandwidth do you have? How much bandwidth is purposeful for you? Most people, not a lot of bandwidth. They want to stay in a pretty narrow world, which is perfectly fine. We used to call it keep them dumb, keep them on the farm. So it definitely works. And then there's that quote again, travel through one medium overall increases travel through other media. I really like that quote. It's very counterintuitive. The electrical vehicle myths, this is something that's been going around for a while. I was one of the first to invest in a Honda Insight back in 2000 and start driving around. I did it for a different reason, because we looked at the early stuff in terms of system dynamic in world 1.0, 2.0, the things that you realize, and we probably should put a reference in that model. It became politicized, as everything has become politicized, so now it's a whole lot of other things. At the same time, what it showed is that the more people we have, the more pollution we have, and then pollution gets to a point where we have less people. So I started getting involved in ultra low emissions vehicles, and right now I don't even have a car, so I guess that's the most ultra low I can get. I don't have a bicycle either, so I'm not putting a lot of CO2 in the air. I'm just basically out there, sort of a neutral agent, or so I like to think. But I really like that, because what it does is it talks about the things that are actually going into what most people who have values do, is they create confirmation bias. So all the EV people create confirmation bias around EV. We have some electric vehicles here in the Philippines that we use. And when I saw this video again after many years of watching things like it, it just makes me cringe sometimes about what we're really doing to things that we can't see or notice directly. In other words, Bucky Fuller's comment about when you flush a toilet, it goes somewhere. That analogy is really important to understand. Okay, so that's kind of the format for the next 5 or 6 weeks. Allow me to hone in on that and allow us to be able to begin to funnel this down into the actual book and program, and then pick this back up as we then venture into the coaching piece. In other words, anyone who learns these skills automatically becomes a helper. Now, coaching is a little bit different than helping. Helping is broader. In other words, helping can be done by coaches, and I suggest more of them help, which means they would have to get themselves out of the way. But sometimes people pay us to get ourselves in the way. So they're really paying for what we have. So therefore, helping becomes more advising. We talk about advising. We talk about how to do it well. We talk about how to not only become a trusted advisor, but also how to use inquiry to know where we should be advising and where we should get the heck out of and stay away from, because we can tell that by listening to different things. We're going to go through the process. Number one, teach you the seven skills. Then we're going to talk to you about all the teachable points of view that go along with that to make you a better helper. And then if you want to be a coach, if you want to be an advisor, a consultant, a better professional, a better accountant, lawyer, doctor. I mean, this stuff for me started out in medicine because I started out in medicine with the docs. I just wasn't that good a golfer, so I gave it up. At the same time, joking aside, the idea is that bedside manner is almost the number one thing that we need these days because of all the different challenges that we have in medicine. So it applies to everyone. It applies to school teachers. It applies to anybody that's helping, anybody that's developing, customer service people, the people that work in HR, the people that understand working with people and how to feel. They need these skills because they need to know sometimes when to switch skills. Extroverts knowing that they need to take the extroversion, take it back inside and use venues like this one here. As an extrovert, I use to get my extroverted needs met, not working with an individual who needs me to listen, because I can't because I haven't got my extroverted needs met. Same thing with the introversion, same thing. Everybody has everything that they need to understand. Get on purpose, whether you're extrovert or introvert, and then begin to understand all the pieces that fit around. We will help you do that. That's the idea behind the Lead You Way. The old self-knowledge stuff, the old self-awareness, self-correction, self-adaptation, self-inquiry, all that sort of stuff. So again, important to leave that with you, and at the same time, see you next week.